Today's daf is Chulin Daf Ches, and we are about 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Zayin Amid Beis. So Chulin Daf Ches is a return to the regular program, the halachas of Shechita. But before we do that, we still have a little bit more of the Agadita related to Rav Pinchas Ben Yair to complete. So why are we talking about Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, specifically Chamoyroi, so Rav Pinchas Ben Yair? Because Masechtas Chulin began with Halacha HaKol Sheichtin Ushchitas and Ksheira. Clearly HaKol Sheichtin was coming to be marred by something. The question was what? Rabbi Barula, Abaya, Rabbi Rav Ashi, and Ravina, they all chimed in, and they all offered explanation as to what the chiddush of HaKol Sheichtin can be. Abaye and Rava both said that the chiddush is a kuti. They were the opinion that the kutim were geir yemes. Thus, they have a din of a yid as long as another yid is watching to make sure that they do everything properly. Their shechita is going to be a good shechita. Stating that the Gemara said in Daf Hei Amud Beis that Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and his bezdin, they made a gzeira that, despite the fact that historically, according to most, the kutim were considered geiri emes, but heretofore we won't treat them anymore as geiri emes. Rabbi Meir's bezdin made the same psak, as did Rav Ami and Rav Asi's bezdin. Hundreds of years later, the bottom line is that even though Medina the Mishnah Kutim were geiri emes, thus their shechita would be kosher. However, shechita's kuti, according to later batei dinim, was no longer going to be treated as a shechita ksheira. It would be treated as the shechita that was done by an non-Jew. The Gemara told the story that Rav Zeira heard that Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Asi once ate from an animal where the shechit was a kuti. And Rav Zeira was very bothered by that. He said, "Hashto behemtim shel tzadikim, ein hakadosh baruch hu mevi takol al yadam tzadikim atzman lekolshkein." And the Gemara brought two additional stories where that comment was made. "Hashto behemtim shel tzadikim, ein hakadosh baruch hu mevi takol al yadam tzadikim atzman lekolshkein." So the Gemara said, "Okay, we mentioned it already three times, initially in the context of shechitas kuti, the sugya at hand, but already several times it's come up. So what's the story?" The Gemara told the story about Rav Pinchas Ben Yair and his chamar. We'll get back to that later when we speak out some raid. But for now, the Gemara just concludes its discussion. We all know that pasuk. What it means is that even though there is a concept called kishuv, but kishuv can't supersede HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously. Einoid Milvadei, says the Gemara, he itza d'habas ka mahadra lemishkol afra mitusei karid Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chanina was sitting down, and there was a woman, a sorceress, a witch, and she was trying to remove afar from underneath the area that Rabbi Chanina was sitting. And apparently that was going to assist her in the kishuf that she wanted to do, and thereby harm Rabbi Chanina. Amar lo, Rabbi Chanina told the woman, "Shkuli, you can take it. I have no problem. Because whatever you think you can do, any powers that you have are not going to work because einoid mavadik." Frankly, Gemara, is that true? But Rabbi Yochanan, lama nikrishman kshafim? Why is kishuv called kshafim? It's from the lashon. It's an acronym. She makrishim pamalya shalmaila. That on some level, kishuv has an ability to override even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Gemara. It's true. But Chani Rabbi Chanina, the nefishas chusei. It's true. There is an idea of kishuv working literally to the point where it's makrishim pamalya shalmaila. But there's also an idea of einoid mavadai. So how do you reconcile that? Like Kasha, for a regular person, Einoid Mavadei may not protect him. And he needs to be worried about kishuv, because kishuv has an ability. Shemakrishim pamal yashamayla. But at the same time, if somebody's a tzaddik on the level of Rav Chanina, the Lashon HaGemara is the nefishas chusei. He had tremendous chusim. For somebody like him, Einoid Mavadei is going to be true. And even kishuv, which ordinarily does have the ability to be makrish pamal yashamayla, is not going to work. Vam Rav Chanina, Einodem Dinkev Etzboi Milmata. A person doesn't stub his toe. Milmato elim ke machrizin all of milmaylo. Unless this was already predestined from Shemayim, nothing happens randomly. Every single action, every single event, as insignificant as it may seem, like stubbing your toe, is something that comes from on top. Shenema me Hashem mitzadei gever koinanu. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single step is predetermined. Va'odam ha'yavan dark. Amar Abalazo, adam nikoev miratzo kedam oil. If somebody stubs his toe and he starts bleeding, the dam that comes out of his toe is like the dam of a carbon oil. And just like the dam of a carbon oil is miratzo, so too the blood the little bit of pain that this person has, he should realize it's not in vain. But this dam is mechaper like a carbon oiva. Amar Rava, Rava said, begoido yamin, it means the thumb, toe, ubenikov sheni. And the second time he stubs it. Meaning the first time it hurts, the second time it really hurts. Vute kazal lidvar mitzvah. And also this is only a geya if he was going lidvar mitzvah. So what does this mean? So the Marsha says that we know that shluchei mitzvah ina nizaykin. So if somebody's on his way to do a mitzvah, why did he get hurt? Presumably because even though he was going to do a mitzvah, so his actions are good, but there must be something wrong with his intentions. His intentions must be off. Because if his intentions are good and his actions are good, shluchei mitzvah ina nizaykin. That means this person had a bad hearer. A bad hearer, you need kapara. What carbon was mechaper for hurei avera? It was the carbon ayla. Says the Marsha, that's what the Gemara means. That if this person now bleeds, that little bit of yesurim is going to be the kapara for the hearer avera. What's a mechaper like? Kedam ayla. Just like an ayla is mechaper on a hurei avera, this dam that comes out of this person is going to be mechaper on a dvar avera as well. And one last Gemara, Amar all of our Pinchas ben Yar, miyom avli batz al prutza she'ina shaloi. So the Gemara had told previously that Pinchas ben Yar didn't want to eat even by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi commented that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Oisei Ritzoinai, that Hashem made it that he should walk into his house and see the white mule which scared Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, which ultimately led him to not have to eat. But Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says the Gemara that this was something that he was very, very observant of. Miyamav leibatza al prutza she'ina shaloi umiyam shamad al daitoi loinena misudas avim. When he was a little boy, he had no choice but to at the very least benefit from his parents. But once he was already Amad al-Daitai, he didn't have Hanah, even Misuda Safi. So there's a lot to talk about. We'll get back to some longer raid a little shortly, but just one Ha'ara before we go Vaita, simply Kosh Alai Predaschan. So just take out one Kotshim Ha'ara from this last Gemara. And that is, this is the second time here in the beginning of Masechtos Chulin, where we have this idea that the Karban Oila is Mechaper, or it's not mechaper. The Gemara said that if somebody stubs his toe and he bleeds, Amar Rabbi Elazar, dam nikayf miratza kidam oila, which at first glance is a little bit tzarachbir. So we just spoke out of Marsha, but at first glance it's a little bit tzarachbir because the oila is always the paradigm of the carbon that's not mechaper. The chatas and the asham are mechaper. The oila is not mechaper. The Torah says v'nirtza, but at the same time it's not usually considered a carbon that is mechaper. The teretz, of course, is that even though Chazal did say that oil is not mechaper, but at the same time, oil is mechaper and ase, it's mechaper on lois ase, shenita glase, it's also mechaper on hirure aver. Now, this came up a few dafin ago, but the Gemara discussed a mummer. Someone that's a mummer, his carbon is not a kosher carbon. And the Gemara brought two brises. One was a brisa that learned it from the parish of Oilo. The other one was a brisa that learned it from the parish of Chatas. And the Gemara said, Tzricha, you need both. Because had I only known that a mummer can't bring a carbon Chatas, I would have thought Mishum de Lekaparo. Aval Oilo, which it doesn't come the Kaparo, Emo Lekabomine. And then the Gemara said, had it only said Oilo, I would have thought, because Oilo is ordinarily a Nadava. So maybe a mummer can't bring a Nadava. But Chatas, which is a carbon chayva, that may be yeah. So therefore I need to. So again, here you have a Gemara that seems to say that the Oila is not mechaper. The teretz is, it's not mechaper relative to the chatas. Thus, tafhei amid beis, the Gemara says, even though I know a mummer can't bring a chatas, doesn't necessarily mean that a mummer can't bring an oila. At the same time, you have daf zayin amid beis, where the Gemara says that the oila is mechaper, dam nikoif, miratzik dam oila, because on some level, the oila is a mechaper. So again, an oila is, on the one hand, a mechaper. On the other hand, it's not a mechaper. But ein beis medrash b'loy chiddush. And that is, I found the tshuva from the Avnei Nezer. And this is in Evin HaEzer. It's tshuva tof mem tes ois lamedalet. It's a very, very long siman. And this is ois lamedalet. And he discusses over there the halachas of a mummer. Declares the Avnei Nezer, what would be the halacha? Could a mummer bring a bechar? Could he bring meiser behema as a carbon? What about a shlomim? Could a mummer bring a carbon shlamim? Says the Avnei Nezer, I think no. You know why? Because the Gemara says that we need a pasuk to tell me that a mummer can't bring a carbon. We need a pasuk to tell me that a mummer can't bring a carbon chatos. Now, a chatos, the Gemara said, is unique, that a chatos is mechaper. I wouldn't have known oila from chatos. It's for that reason the Gemara needed another brisa to tell me that the mummer also can't bring the carbon oila. But says the Avnei Nezer, even though the Oila, the Gemara says, is not Mechaper, we know really it is Mechaper. It's Mechaper on Aseh, it's Mechaper on Lafshanitah Glaseh, and it's Mechaper on Hurei Aver. So at the end of the day, even though I know that an Oila which is not Mechaper, a Mummer cannot bring, it doesn't mean that a Karman that's not Mechaper at all, a Mummer would not be able to bring. So says the Avnei Nezer, we L'chura cannot learn from Chatos or from Oila that a Mummer should not be able to bring a Bechair, a Meiser, or even a Karban Shlomo. So at the end of the day, the Avnei Nezer held that it's very possible that a Mummer would be able to bring those Karbanas. A Chatos he can't bring, that's a Breisa. An Oila he can't bring, that's a Breisa. So you're going to tell me, Bechair, Meiser, and Shlomo, let's learn them from Chatos and Oila, you can't. Because the Gemara seemed to say that the fact that Chatos is Mechaper, that's a reason for the Mummer not to be able to bring a Chatos. An Oila, granted, is not Mechaper, but on some level we know, says the Avnei Nezer, we have information, it's right here, we just learned the Gemara, that on some level an Oila is Mechaper. So at the end of the day, you can't learn Bechar Meiser and Shlomim from Chatas. You can't even learn it from Oila. So that even though Chazal say that a Mummer wasn't able to bring a carbon, the Avnei Nezer wanted to entertain at Tzad that there was some carbonos that the Mummer would be able to bring. So the Avnei Nezer held that maybe a Mummer could bring a Bechar, a Meiser, and a Shlomim. You can't learn it from Chatas, that he shouldn't be able to, because Chatas is Mechaper. And even Oilo, which is not Mechaper, says the Avnei Nezer, let's be honest, we know it is Mechaper. So what does the Gemara mean in Daf Hayam and Beis that it's not Mechaper? Relative to Chatas, it's not Mechaper. But of course it's Mechaper. Relative to Shlomim, it's Mechaper. Relative to Bechair and Meiser, it is Mechaper. Why is this a Chiddush? Because we spoke out a lot of raid in Masechtas Menachos. Is that so poshut that a Shlomim is not Mechaper? So at first glance, everybody thinks a Shlomim is not Mechaper. Chatas and Oshama Mechaper. Oil is also Mechaper. On Aseh, on Lav Shenitek Laseh, on Inhuri Aver. What about a Shlomim? Is a Shlomim Mechaper? So we had a whole bunch of Mar Mekoymas that a Shlomim is Mechaper. I'm not going to go through all of them, but the Yisoy that we had spoken at the time was from the Netziv. The Netziv said a tremendous Chiddush, and that is that Karban Shlomim was Mechaper on Ben Odom Lechavera. So if somebody had a Chet of Ben Odom Lechavera, for that the Karban Shlomo was Mechaper. And he brought a raya from the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam in the end of Perek Gimel, Hilchas Maaseh HaKorbanos, the Rambam talks about vidui. Says the Rambam, the Ketza Mizvada, Omer, a person says, Chatasi, Avisi, Pashati, Vasisi, Kach, Bekach, etc. Hoya Karban Shlomo. Let's say somebody's bringing a Karban Shlomo. Says the Rambam, you do smicha. V'yirali, she'enoi Mizvada ala Shlomo. I don't think you're supposed to say vidur on a Karban Shlomim. Aval Oimer Divrei Shvach. You're supposed to say Divrei Shvach. Mizmul Asoida. You're supposed to say Divrei Shvach. But the Rambam says, V'yirali. I don't think, my gut tells me, that you're not supposed to say vidur when you bring a Karban Shlomim. Freit the Netziv, what's the Havamina that you should say vidur when you bring a Karban Shlomim? What's vidur? The Rambam said, Chatasi avisi pashati, v'asisi kach v'kach, v'chazarti b'shuva lefanecha, v'zu kaparasi. If a Shlomim's not mechaper, then what's the Havamina you should say vidui? Says the Netzir from the Rambam, it's Mavur, clearly that a Shlomim is Mechaper. If Shlomim is Mechaper, there would have been a Havamina you should say vidui. Says the Rambam, the Yirali Sheinim Misvada La Shlomim. That despite the fact that it's a Mechaper, you're not supposed to say vidui. But regardless, the Avnei Nezer said that if a Mummer wants to bring a Karban Shlomim, can he bring it or can he not bring it? So at first glance, you're going to tell me it's a Gemara Chul and Daf Eim and Beis. The Gemara says one Brice, a Mummer can't bring a Chatos, another Brice, he can't bring an Oilos. If he can't bring a Chatos and an Oilos, he probably can't bring a Shlomim either. Zok Avnei Nezer, I don't think it's all poshut. You can't bring a chatos like the Gemara says. Chatos is mechaper. And even though Oila, the Gemara here says, is not mechaper, it just means relative to chatos, it's not mechaper. But of course Oila is mechaper. We just learned the Gemara here. It's something that comes up over and over and over and over and over again. But a shlomim, which is not mechaper at all, Zok Avnei Nezer, I think a Mummer could bring. That's presupposing a tremendous chiddush that a shlomim is not mechaper. But the emes is, we have a whole bunch of Mar Mekoymas, we have a Medrash Tanchum in Parshas Tetzaveh, we have a Rashi in Masechtas Erichin, we have a whole bunch of Mar Mekoymas that we've spoken about in the past, but either way, from the Avnei Nezer, it's mevur that a shlomim is not mechaper at all. Regardless, Zok the Gemara Vayta. So we return to the halachis of Shechita. Amar Rab Zeira, Amar Shmur Rab Zeira said in the name of Shmuel, Libein Sakin. Somebody had a knife, Shoichet, somebody's going to Shecht Chulin, he takes the knife and he heats it up. Rashi says that why does Libein mean hot? Because Beloshen Chachamim, they used to refer to something very hot as being white hot. Rashi says, Beloshen Haloy as in Kairim Bad Mumas. He says, Beloshen La, as in the secular world, they refer to it as red hot. So what in the secular world, reading Rashi, is known as red hot, but Lashon Chachamim was known as white hat. The bottom line is, Li Bein Tzakin means that the Sheikh took the knife and he made it very, very hot. The Shachat Ba. And now he went and he shechted. Shechitas Ekshere. The Shechitas Kasher. And if you think about it for a minute, Shmuel's halach is a very big chiddush. Why? Number one, what's Shechita? So before we get into the technical aspects of Shechita, that's going to come in the coming dafin, but Shechita means the Sheikhid has to cut the two simanim, the two quote-unquote pipes of the animal, the trachea and the esophagus. So if he cuts roiv of the base simanim, for a behema, simen echad for a knife, roiv of the base simanim, that's what constitutes, that's the technical definition of Shechita. Now, an animal that's a trefa, and is, you can't shecht, right? If you shecht an animal that has a trefa, the animal's going to be nevela. It's not going to be considered a kosher shechita. The shaila is, if somebody has a knife that's very, very hot, so hot that as soon as it touches the simanim, the trachea or the esophagus, it's going to singe, it's going to burn it. So once it gets burnt, l'chura, it would meet the technical definition of a trefa. Once it's a trefa, you can't do a shechita anymore. So l'chura, shtelzach t'shayla, could you do shechita with such a knife? Maybe you should be concerned that right before the knife cuts the simanim, it's going to burn the simanim. And as soon as it burns the simanim, it's going to be a treifa. Once it's a treifa, you can't do a kosher shechita anymore. On that note, Amar Rav Zeira Mashmuel, li bein sakit, if somebody had a knife that was white hot, v'shachat ba, and he shechted, shechitasik sheira, it's going to be kosher. Why? Chidud kaidim l'libuna. We assume that the sharpness of the knife severs the simanim before the heat of the knife burns the simanim. As a result, when you shechted it, it wasn't a treifa. That's why the shechita is going to be kosher. Freit the Gemara for ikut stot. If I understand the sharpness of it, it's so sharp that the second it touches the simanim, boom, it severs it. But what about the sides? The sides of the blade weren't as sharp. I mean that they're not as sharp, but they are as hot. So l'chura, the sides should burn it before the simanim are severed, thus it should be a treifa. So the Gemara says, mirvach ravach. It's done in a way where the sides never touch the simanim. I mean that they never touch the simanim. It's only the sharpness of the knife that does. Chiduda is koidem libuna. It's not going to be an issue, says the Gemara. Ibayiluhu. So me inyan le inyan, shaloi ba'oise inyan. The Gemara is going to digress now. And the Gemara is going to discuss the halachis of a tsaras. Or Mitzayra. So we know that Parshas Tazria Mitzayra are from the more difficult, more complicated Parshias in the Torah. The counterpart in Torah Shabbat Ped, Negam and Ahalas, right? The Gemara says, Malacha Eitzel Agad, the Klach Eitzel Negam v'Ahalas. So that tells you everything you have to know about Negam and Ahalas. So it was always considered by the Chachamim as the most difficult Parshias in the Torah. But for what we need this morning is that not all Tzaras is the same. Specifically, the Gemara is going to discuss a person who developed a nega on top of a part of his skin that was previously inflamed. Someone had a bruise, let's say. And the area is swollen. The area is inflamed. And on top of that, tzaras developed. Special parish in the Torah that talks about that type of tzaras. Or if somebody had a burn. Somebody burnt himself. And on the area that's burnt, he suddenly develops a nega. So if somebody develops a nega on top of an inflamed area, what's known b'lashon chazal, the Torah as well, as an area that's called shchin. So shchin usually means boils, as in makah shchin, one of the 10 makas. In this context, it's going to mean an inflamed area, or a mikvah, which means an area that was burned. So it says the Gemara, li bein shvud vihika boy. What happens if somebody had a spit, a shvud, that was very, very hot, and he poked himself? The area where he poked himself got burnt. It also got inflamed. And then a nega developed. So the question is, do we look at this nega as a nega that developed on top of a burnt area? Or do we look at it as a nega that developed on top of an inflamed area? Nidain mishum shchin, oy mishum michvani. It says, well, l'may nafkemina, what difference does it make? And the background of the shaila of l'may nafkemina is, because if you go through the parashis in the Torah, as the Gemara is going to say right now, there really is no nafkemina lahalacha between a nega that develops on top of a shchin or a nega that develops on top of a mikvah. Meaning, if there was a separate Shulchan Aruch of how you treat it, then of course there'd be a nafkamina. But being that in halacha, the way you treat either one of these negaim is exactly the same, so the Gemara says at first glance, what is the nafkamina? And to explain the nafkamina, the Gemara is going to bring two brises and a mishnah. Says the Gemara, look at the Tanya. First brise, so shchin u'mikvah mitamin b'shavua echad, a shchin and a mikvah, meaning a nega that develops on top of shchin, on top of an inflamed area, or on top of a burn. The halacha is that tamei for 1 week, b'shnei simanim, b'se'er lavan u'bepisyon. What's unique about this? Ordinarily, if somebody developed a nega, so he would go to the kohen would lock him up for a week. After a week, the kohen would inspect it, and he would, depending on what happened, be locked up for a second week. And then after the second week, they would figure out exactly what, either would be told he's tamei, or in the best case scenario, they'd put him away for a second week. So he goes out, and solitary confinement, he comes back, and afterwards they tell him what the story is. If somebody has a nega that developed on top of the shechina or a mifcha, he only gets locked up. This hesker only happens for 1 week. So usually it would be 2 weeks. Over here it's 1 week. What happens at the end of the week? If it grew, the nega did, or it developed white here, say a lavan, he's going to be tameh. Otherwise, he's going to be tar. So the Braisa says, shchinu mifcha, they're both unique, that metam b'shvua echad. There's no second hesker. He gets put away for 1 week. At the end of the week, they see what happened. What do they see? If one of these two simanim developed, say or love it or piss, and then he's going to be talking. So the Bryce already asks the question that if the halacha of the nega that develops on top of the shechina mifcha is exactly the same, so why did Torah divide it into two parashas? They tell me it's not mitzdarif. Because in order for a nega to be tummy, it has to be a certain shear. The shear is a gris. And if it doesn't have the shear of a gris, it's a problem. The Torah wrote two parashas, a neg on top of the shchin, neg on top of a mikva, to tell me that leiroi zeh keroi zeh. And even though the Shulchan Aruch of the two are the same, but at the end of the day, it's not the same nega. I mean that it's not the same nega, they're not going to be mitzvah. Tanya, we learned in another parashah, what's the definition of shchin? What's the definition of mikva? Loka be'etz, if somebody was hit with a wood, be'evin, with a rock, big gefes, gefes is the pulp of olives. After they used to press olives, so whatever was left on the bottom had some heat, and it could actually damage somebody. Or anything else that it didn't get its heat as a result of fire, lasuye, eva meikara, lead that was just newly mined. That's the definition of shchin. So somebody gets hurt in a way where something hot hurt him, but the heat didn't come, machmasar didn't come because of fire. That's the definition of shchem. He's a michva, nichva begachelis. That's if it did come from heat, from fire. For example, coals, beremets are ashes, besidreseh, begibsreseh, these are certain types of lime. Uvachaldav abba machmasar lasuye chamihar, water that was heated up from fire. Zuhi michva. That's the definition of michva. That's the second price. What's the third? Vetanya, shchin or michva. If somebody has shchin and michva, let's say he has two things, two independent bruises. He had shchin, he had michva. So the ear is inflamed, then he had a burn. Two. It happened from two separate actions. He was hit with a rock, and then he was hit with boiling water. So im shchin kaidin lichuk, the shchin came first, batol michva sashchin. Then we treat it as a nega that developed on top of michva. Then michva gedemes lashchin, and if the michva came first, batol shchin as a michva. Then we look at the shchin, meaning whichever one came second, that's the one that we're going to have. Bottom line is that we have three Braises over here. Two Mishnayis and two Braises and a Mishnah. Number one, a halacha that Shchin and Michva are technically the same. The reason the Torah was mechalik them into two parashas to tell me that they're not mitzdarif to the gris. So the Shchin nega and the Michva nega are not mitzdarif. Number two, the technical definition of Shchin and Michva. Shchin is when the bruise, the inflammation came as a result of something that was hot but didn't obtain its heat from fire. Michva is when it did obtain its heat from fire. And then finally, if somebody has a shchin and a mifcha, so which one do you treat it as? The second one. Whichever one came second, that's the one that is. So it says the Gemara, v'hoche heichi dami. So what's our case? Again, what was the shaila? The shaila, somebody was hit with a shvud that was very, very hot. And he developed shchin and michva, technically. So the question is, what are you looking at? Do you look at it as a shchin or do you look at it as a michva? The truth is, it's both. He really does have both, because he was hit by the shvud. That would make it a shchin, but at the same time, it's also very hot. That would look at it as a michva. So essentially, the question is, which one do we assume happened first? Do we assume that first the inflammation came and then he got burnt? Or first the burn and then the inflammation? You see how this is going to tie back into our sugya, right? So it says the Gemara, "V'hochei chidami going to have a bei chatzi gris shchemekar." So the case is where this person had a chatzi gris of shchin, v'li bein shvud, and then he had a hot shvud that hit the hikaboy, and he was hit by that. But no, v'li chatzi gris achen. Now another chatzi gris developed. So the question is, that other chatzi gris, could it be mitzdarif with the chatzi gris shchin or not? What's the shaila chavat to call him? Do we say that first he got hit, v'asi havlu mevatalei l'chavat, and then the heat comes? Meaning then the michva develops. If that's
that's the case, then the other half of gris is a mikvah. The first half of gris was a shchin. V'havle shchinu mikvah v'le mitzdarfa. That was one of the prices we mentioned, the two anam mitzdarf. Or do we say that first he got burned, v'asi chavotu mevatale, and then the bruise, then the inflammation came that was mevatal the burn, v'havle shchinu shchin. If that's the case, I have a chatzi gris of shchin. The second, first he got burnt, and then the chavotu, that's another chatzi gris of shchin. Two chatzi grises of shchin could be mitzdarf. So the Gemara says, toshma, even though this is halacha in the sugyas of Negam, I could prove it from Shmuel's halacha. Somebody has a very high knife, and then he cuts the basim on him. So what's halacha? It's a kosher shchita. Because we say, chidu the kaidim livuno. Because even though the knife is clearly going to burn the simonim, but it's going to cut the simonim before it burns the simonim. Alma, what do you see? Chavat the kadim. So you see that first the bruise, in this case, first it gets severed, and then the burn. So too, if somebody's hit with a shvut that's very hot, we should assume first the shchin, and then the mikvah. But the Gemara says, no, chidut shine, this is very different. Here you're talking about a very sharp knife. Because it's so sharp, that's why it severs it before he burns it. But a shvut, a spit, isn't as sharp. Tashma, I'll bring you another, right? Leave in shvut. This is a mefurish, a braisa. This is talking not about hilchas shchita, this is talking about the halachas of negam, and it says a mefurish. That leave in shvut, Alma, what do you see from Mechavata Kadim? So you see clearly that the Chavata comes first. Because if it's Nidan Mishum Mechva, that means the Mechva second. Whichever one is second, that's the one. Hasam Nami, the Barze, Mivriz, the Hainich. But the Gemara says that's not a Raya either. Because that was talking about where the person was poked. If you're poked, it's similar to the sharp edge of the knife. The shayla over here is where the person wasn't poked with the shvut, he was just hit with the shvut. If he was hit with it, there's a tzad to say that maybe first the burn comes and then the chavata comes. If that's the case, he wouldn't be nidoin mishum mikvasesh, he would be nidoin mishum shchin exel. So before we go weiter to a completely new sugya, just to go back to the sugya of hashta behemtiv shel tzadikim ein hakadosh baruch hu maybe takol al yodam tzadikim atzman loikolshkin. Tosfos on the bottom of daf hey amid beis asks a kasha from two gemaras. We'll mention one. The gemara mesach the Shabbos daf yud beis amid beis says that the halacha is one is not allowed to learn on Shabbos la'or haner. So back in the day, before electricity, people would learn at night. You'd have a candle, you'd put the candle next to you, and that's how you would learn. It says the Mishnah, Yikra L'Oiraner, that on Shabbos, he's not allowed to learn L'Oiraner. Gzeir Hashem Eyat. Rabbi Yishmael said, what? You think it's an issue? Who's going to do that? You're sitting and learning Shabbos Kodesh. Nobody's going to be Matan Oiraner. Zokta Gemara, years later, people found a Pinchas. It said as follows, Ani Yishmael ben Elisha, Karisi V'Hotisi. Rabbi Yishmael himself wrote this. He said, I was once learning on Shabbos, and I accidentally b'shoigig. I took the Oraner and I was matit. Now when we learn Masechtas Zvachim Amenachers, we used to refer back to this all the time. The Chidas Kasha. The Chidas said, why did Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha say that when the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built, he's going to have to bring a carbon chatas? Why couldn't he just be Oisik b'teres chatas and kol Oisik b'teres chatas? That's Keilu Hikruv chatas. That's the Kachin element to it. But there's a Chulin element to this Kasha. Freita is a Kasha. What comes out is that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was Nichshol in Chilul Shabbos. Albeit b'shoigi, it's afraid Tosfos that the Gemara said over and over and over again that hashta behemton shel tzadikim ein hakadosh baruch hu mevi takol al yadam tzadikim atzmon loy koshkein l'chura freik Tosfos that here you have a story where Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was nichshol. Not in Demai, not in some of the sugyas that we learned about right here, but he was nichshol in Chil Shabbos, no less. So, l'chayre, how do you reconcile that Gemara, that Rabbi Shmuel was nichshol in Chil Shabbos, with the idea that even Behemton shel Tzadikim, like Chamayrish or Pinchas Ben Yar, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe takol al yadam. And Tosfos has a very big chiddush. V'oymeri, the dafka b'midi de'achilo, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe takol al yadam. That vice Tosfos, that even though the Gemara said many times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects tzaddikim and even the behemoths of tzaddikim, it's only when it comes to midi de'achilo. She'gnai hu le'tzaddik she'oichol dover iser. Because it's a gnai for a tzaddik to eat macholos asuras. So when it comes to macholos asuras, there you have this idea of in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe takol al yadam. But in any other context, for example, Chil Shabbos, even though Chil Shabbos is much more chamor than some of the Gemaras that we learned, where the Gemara applied the rule of Behemtin Shal Tzadikim, but at the same time, it's something that's related specifically to Midi de Achila, but as it relates to any other halacha other than Midi de Achila, this is not going to be true. And obviously, Divrei Tosfos, it's Tzricha Bir. Because why would you think that Midi de Achila should be any different? Chil Shabbos is much more chomer. The other Kasha Tosfos asks is from a Gemara where the Gemara said that Yehuda ben Tabar accidentally killed an Eid Zayman. There was someone that came, he held he was an Eid Zayman. He killed him. He found out afterwards that he really wasn't supposed to have killed him. So this is a question of Shvichas Dabim. So Shvichas Dabim and Chil Shabbos, you don't have the protection, but for some reason when it comes to Midi Dachilo, over there you do have the protection. But it could be the beer is as follows, just with a little bit of a Hakdama. And that is that everybody knows the Ramah. It's in Yoreh Day, it's tucked away. Simen Pei Aleph. Hilchas Dvarim HaYoytzen Minacha. But the Ramah is famous. Chol of Nachris Ke Chol of Yisraelis. The halacha is if a non-Jewish woman is a meinekes, she wants to nurse a Jewish child, the halacha is that her milk is kosher milk. It's better for a Jewish child not to nurse from a non-Jewish woman. And the reason is because the cholov of an avedes kechavim causes a timtum halev, and it's going to cause the child to develop a bad midah, a tevara. Says the Ramah, if somebody's nursing a child, the person should be very careful not to eat dvar masurim. Why? Because you're nursing a child, and you don't want the child to somehow get some of the macholas asurais that the meinekes is eating, because it's going to be metamtim delev, and meilei tevera. So says the Ramah, let's say you have a Jewish woman, afilu yisraelis. Even a Jewish woman who's nursing a child, be very careful. Make sure you observe the laws of kosher. Break the Taz and the Shach. A Jewish woman has to keep the laws of kashrus because she's a Jewish woman. So what do you mean that? Of chein loysoichal hameinekes afilu Yisraelis dvar masur. Says the Taz and the Shach, a dover nifla. Very good. Where this meinekes was a chayla sheyesh by sakon. Where al pi halacha she was allowed to eat dvar masurim. Says the Ramah, that woman should try not to nurse a child. Because even though she has a right to eat what it is she's eating right now, but at the same time, the metzias is that macholas asuris are metamtam alev. And the moilad loy tevara. And it's for that reason, you do it, yeah, of course, you have to eat it. It's pekoch nefesh. You're a chassid shait if you don't eat the machalas asuris. But at the same time, don't nurse the child. Because at the end of the day, the metzius of the timtum alev is going to exist. It's metamtum alev umoy loy tevera. And what emerges from this Ramah, the way the Shach and the Taz explain it, is an unbelievable chiddush. Because we know that machalas asuris is metamtum es alev. But you would think that that's only if a person's doing something wrong. So if someone's eating machalas asuris when he's not supposed to eat machalas asuris, where it's also for you to eat the machalas asuris, and then it's by definition, asurois. That's when it's a problem. But if someone's a chayla sheyesh by sakon, it's mutter to eat. So if the halach, if the Torah says eat it, so why should it be metamtem es alev? It's macholos asurois to the extent that it's asurois. But over here it's mutter. Why would it be a problem? State in that shach and in that taz, the way they explain the Ramah chiddush neira, that macholos asurois be'etzim are metamtem es alev. And it doesn't matter if you're doing it be'isser, if you're doing it be'heter, if you make a l'shem yichud before you eat the macholos asurois, if you have to have a mitzvah shrichas kavana before you eat the macholos. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, there's a reality, there's a physical reality or a metaphysical reality to this food that it's metamtem es alev umoylid loy tevara. Rameya Simcha in a classic Meshech Achma says, based on this Yisoid, he doesn't quote the Taz, but in a classic Meshech Achma, he says that the Pasuk says in Parshas Vaschanim, V'hoyaki v'yach Hashem alikecha lo'oretz asher nishba la'avisecha l'avrom li'yitzchok u'li'yakov lo'seislach. So Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Klal Yisrael, Mishneh Torah, in Arvos Moav, and he tells him that, you know, Hashem is going to take you into Eretz Yisrael, the land that he promised your forefathers, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and he's going to give you Orim Gedolos, V'toivos asher lo'i b'nisa. You're going to walk in, you're going to inherit an entire country. You're going to live in big houses that you didn't have to build. Ubatim Malayim Kol Tov, and there's going to be houses, pantries are going to be stacked with food. You're going to have, there's going to be houses that are going to be full. Asher lo'i milayis, you yourself didn't have to do that. Ubayreis chatsuvim, there's going to be ditches that were dug. Asher lo'i chatsavta. Kromim v'zeisim asher lo'i notata. V'yachalta v'savata. It's all yours. You can have whatever you want. Malachtin nasas al yadei acherim. There ever was. So everything says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to be able, Yishamalach, stating that, be careful. Pentishkach as Hashem asher yitziyachim eretz Mitzrayim yibes avadim. Make sure that you don't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Es Hashem alikecha tira. V'oysoy savoid. Uv'shmoy sishav.
Then Moshe Rabbeinu immediately gives them this major musa shmuz. Says, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be gewaldig. You're going to have land, you're going to have businesses, you're going to have houses. Malayim kol tov, it's amazing. But at the same time, hishama l'cha, be very, very careful. Pentishkach es Hashem, asher yitziyacha. Immediately follow. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to follow this besura toiva with him? So Pashup Shad is, because there's an idea of Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. Sometimes if people have it too good, they forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a very obvious segue. Everything's going to be wonderful, but at the same time, be stark. Hishama l'cha pentishkach as Hashem asher yitziyacha mi'eretz Mitzrayim based on Avodah. Says Rameh Simcha, based on the Gemara Masechta Schulin, Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, next week. And that is, the Gemara says that the Yidden are going to Eretz Yisrael and they're going to see houses that are going to be Malayim Kol Tov. Chazal learned from here that the Yidden were able to eat every single thing that was in these houses. We even bought the Malayim Kol Tov. Nothing's going to be kosher. You're going to have to take the pantry, you're going to have to throw, you're going to have to kasher the kitchen, you're going to have to kasher the oven, everything is, you're going to have 9 million shilas of how exactly, this is called bought the Malayim Kol Tov. No one's going to stop putting silver foil on all the countertops. No one's going to want to eat there. What's this bought the Malayim Kol Tov? A bunch of getchkes. What exactly are you walking into? Says the Gemara, an unbelievable chiddush. You see from here that when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, they were allowed to eat everything that they found. Afilu kadli de chaziri, even the chazer that they found. It's clear in this pasuk. Ubatam aleim kol tov. Says Rameh Simcha. That's the smichas apsogim. The Eibushter says, "Vayikiviach Hashem alikecha," and you're going to have. You're going to be able to eat all the non-kosher food. But you know what's going to happen? If you're going to eat the non-kosher food, it's going to come with an invoice. You know what the invoice is? Non-kosher food is mitamtem esalev. It's meilad loitevara. And even though you're doing it beheter, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It was mutter, afilu kadli dechaziri. But like the Ramah says, it doesn't matter. There's a mitzias. The mitzias is it's meilad tevara. Zok, the Torah is shamalacha. It's fine, but you're going to have to be extra careful. You have to be on top of your game. Pentishka chasashem asher yitziyachem eretz Mitzrayim mibeis havodim. Thus the Moshe Rabbeinu Simcha, you know what the Moshe Shmuz was? Because the Yidden were just told they could eat non-kosher. And if you put non-kosher food in your mouth, realize, even if you're doing it beheter, you're getting involved in a situation. Says Rameh Simcha, and he concludes with one line. And this is the classic, Shebek classic, Meshach Chachma. V'lochein, yichalol Shabbos l'choylo, v'lo yachilenu nevela. So what does he mean? You have to know the rest of the story. He's referring to a Ran and then the Masechtas Yuma. The Ran discusses, you have a Chayla, he needs to eat. It's Shabbos. He needs food. And the question is, what to do? There's two choices. We can give him non-kosher food, or we can call a Sheikhit. We could bring Hakol Sheikhtin, Rishchitas, and we can shech food for him. So what's a better option? To give him the non-kosher food or to shech the animal? So at first glance, you would say, for sure, give him the non-kosher food. Because the non-kosher food is a question of a loisa, say. It's an isin avela. But shechita b'shabbos, that's a loisa say sheyesh b'karis. It's a loisa sheyesh b'mises bezin, right? Aseiz doicha the loisa say of nevela. Aseiz not doicha the loisa say of Shabbos. Of course, Shabbos is more chomer. Stating that, the Ran says, it's not true. The Ran says it's better to shecht, don't give him the veil. What's the pshat? It says the Ran, unbelievable chiddush. He says, because although the Isser Shabbos is more common than the Isser Nevela, but if the Chayla is going to eat the Nevela, for every Kezayis Nevela he's going to put in his mouth, he's going to be over another Lois Aseh. Shabbos is a one-time event. Says the Ran, it's better to do one bigger Avera, but only once, than to do smaller averis many times. Reis Vengel, when he discusses Reiv HaEichos versus Reiv HaKavos, quantity versus quality in Halacha. So this is one of his rayas. You see quality versus quantity, because you see that it's better over here to do the quality, meaning quantity is more chomer than quality. We don't want you to do many smaller laven. We'd rather you do one bigger laven. That's the Pashup Shad, Azoy Shteit in the Ran, says Rameir Simcha. But Lefi Hanal, based on all this, I can tell you another Pshat. You know why it's better to eat the kosher food and be Mechal Shabbos, even though that's more chomer? Because kosher food at the end of the day is not Metamtem Esalev. It's not Moilad Loi Tevara. As opposed to Nevela, which is Metamtem Esalev. It is Moilad Loi Tevara. Now you're going to ask me, what do you mean? He's a Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana. He's allowed to eat it. The Teretz is the Ramah, the Taz, the Shach, the Psukim, the way Rameir Simcha explained it, that even though you're eating it in a way where it's mutter to eat it, it doesn't negate the fact that it's still going to be betamta masaleh. V'lochein, says Rameir Simcha in one line, yichalol Shabbos l'chayla v'lo yachilenu nevela, a little bit of the pnimius of that halacha that the Ran says in the end of Masechtas Yuma, right? The nigla we know, but this is the nister, this is the rest of the story, this is the hidden pshat. The hidden pshat is it's related to this idea of tim. So what does it have to do with us? Because we just said over Yisoid from the Ri. With Tosfos said a Gevaldige Yisoid, that even though the Gemara says Hashto behemtum shal tzadikim ena kodesh baruch maybe takala al yodam tzadikim atzmo lekoshkein, says the Ri, that's only when it comes to midi da'achila over there shegnaihu letzadik sheoichel davarisim. But when it comes to other averis, even if they're more chamer over there, yeah, you don't have to worry about it. Chil Shabbos, Shvichas Damim, there's no protection. You know when there's protection? When it comes to Macholos Asuris. And at first glance, what's the pshat? And the truth is, Yehuda asked a very good kasha the other day. Yes, we know the Nesivus says to Yisoid that even though there's a concept of Shoigig, and if somebody doesn't have Averib Shoigig, he needs Kapara, stating that by an Issa D'Rabbanon, there's no Averib of Shoigig. So if somebody does a Issa D'Rabbanon B'Shoigig, the Nesiva says, you don't need any Kapara. I think it's a Chesh Mishpat, Reish Lamadab. That's the Nesiva's Yisoid. That if somebody does an Avera B'Shoigig, Midrabbanon, he doesn't need any Kapara. So yes, that some of the cases in our Gemara were Yisurei D'Rabbanon. Ola Shal Yerek, Rameyret, where the Gemara applied Hashta Behemdash Shal Sadiqim. That was Mr. Demai. That was the story with Rav Asi, who sat down, he was eating breakfast, and there was wine mixed with his eggs. That was also a case of an Issa D'Rabbanon. So the Chura Issa D'Rabbanon, they were doing the Aver B'Shoigig, so what's the protection? But I think the pshat is this read. The pshat is the protection's not from the Avera. If the protection was from the Avera, then you're right. Issa D'Rabbanon B'Shoigig is not even an Avera. You don't even need Kapara. If the protection was for the Avera, then there would be protection for bigger Averas. You'd have protection for Chil Shabbos, which is Skila. You'd have protection for Shlichas Domim, Yehuda Ben Tabai, the Gemara Makas Tafei. The Teretz is the protection's not for the Avera. The protection is for what comes about when somebody eats Machalas Asuras. If somebody eats Machalas Asuras, it's Matam to Mesalei. It's moiled loy tevara. It's like Ramea Simcha, Velochen Yechal Shabbos, Lochoyla, Velayachilenu Nevela. Of course, Chil Shabbos is more Chamer than Nevela. You want to know which is more Chamer? Of course, it's Chil Shabbos. But at the same time, if somebody is Mechal Shabbos when it's okay to be Mechal Shabbos, okay, it's fine. He did it. It was a Chil Sheesh by Sakana. Nevela, even if it's a Chil Sheesh by Sakana, it's not okay. Because at the end of the day, it's Metamta Mesalev, it's moiled loy tevara. That's what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos is saying, I know Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha's case is more Chamer than our Sugya. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was a case of Chil Shabbos. Here we're discussing Dmai. We're discussing Ola Shal Yerek in Beit Shan. Which one's more Chomer? Of course Chil Shabbos is more Chomer. But at the same time, Yichal Shabbos L'chayla V'lo Yachilenu Nevela. When it comes to Midi D'Achila is more Chomer. Why? Not because Tavera is more Chomer. Because it's Metamtemes, and that's what the Shmir is. Hashto behemte shal tzadikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takala yodam tzadikim atzman loy kolshia. Just tell you one other interesting thing, and that is, I found a very nice maramachim, the Ramban, in Parshas Chayisara. So we just had this. Eliezer Eben Avram, he comes with his camels into Besuel, Lavan, Rivka's house, and the Pasuk says that she and they offered him food. But the first thing Eliezer had to do before he gave his camels to eat was Vayefatach Hagmalim. Says Rashi, what does it mean? Vayefatach Hagmalim? Hitir Zomim Shalem. They had muzzles on their mouths. Why they have muzzles? Because Eliezer had to make sure that his gemalim, these camels, they shouldn't eat from other people's fields. So as a result, they used to walk around with muzzles. Freik the Ramban. This is a Ramban's kasha, and he asks it based on a medrash. Says the Ramban, we all know the story about Rav Pinchas ben Yair. Rav Pinchas ben Yair's animal, his chamor, wouldn't eat tevel. So freik the Ramban, how is it possible? How is it possible that Rav Pinchas ben Yair's chamor was on a higher madriga than Eliezer Eben Avram Avinu's camels? Right? I asked you, Avram's camels or Rav Pinchas ben Yair's donkey? You would think for sure Avram's camels, right? They were on a higher madriga. Says the Ramban, his lashon ki efshe sheyi hachasidus beveisay shal Rav Pinchas ben Yair gadol yoiser mi beisay shal Avram Avinu v'kach chamoyre shal Rav Pinchas ben Yair einan utzorich l'shtamim min advar. How do you know that? Our Gemara, Kolshking Malav Shal Avram Avinu. They ain't Tzarech L'Zomim. There's no reason to put a muzzle. And Ramban asked Tzarech Ian. Ramban is Doich Rashi's Pshat. You understand? We're discussing Pashup Pshat and a Pasuk in the Torah. Vayefatach Hagmalim. Zok Teilu Gerashi. What does it mean? He removed the muzzle. Zok Ramban. No, it's not what it means. There's no way in the world Avram Avinu's camels needed muzzles. Because Avram Avinu's camels could not have been any worse than Rav Pinchas ben Yair's chamor. And if Rav Pinchas ben Yair's chamor knew to stay away from things that it wasn't allowed to eat, certainly the same would be true as it relates to Avram Avinu's camels. Now, the truth is, Ramban is tzorichin gadol, the Re'im asks the kasha. Ein soimchen al anes. It's true. But at the end of the day, for a Pinchas ben Yair, it's chamar not to eat
something that doesn't have a badatz hashkocha, if that's already, this is happening al derech neis. I mean that it's happening al derech neis. What happened to Insoimchen al neis? Right? I think it's a very stark kashin. Ramban himself is the one in Parshas Noach who talks about that the reason it took Noach 120 years to build the teva, being that the whole thing was al derech neis anyways. Ramban says HaKadosh Baruch Hu's memayit benisim. That yisoid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't perform miracles unless he has to, the Ramban and Parshas Bai. This is the Ramban's yisoid that permeates his pirush al ha-Torah. It's one of the big yisoides of the Ramban. And here the Ramban is saying a pshat in a pasuk because he thought that Avram Avinu could have been Samech al ha-Nes. Eliezer Eved Avram could have been Samech al ha-Nes. But I want to ask you, leave with this little food for thought, pun intended. And that is that Tais just said yisoid. Tais said that the only time you say, Hashta behemte shal tzadikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevet ha-kol ha-yodim is only b'midi da-achila. Right, it's only when it's achila related. What about gezel? This idea that the camels of Avram Avinu would have eaten somebody else's grain. Would you look at that as midi d'achila or not? The food is kosher food. The animals are eating, but this is gezela. It's not an iser achila. Nevela is an iser achila. Treif is an iser achila. Even menachai is an iser achila. Bas of a cholav is an iser achila. This is the iser gezela. It's kosher food. It's just gezela. Is that midi d'achila or is that not midi d'achila? Tosfos Lashon sounds like it's midi d'achila that you're eating a davar ha'asur loy. Or maybe no. At the end of the day, you're still going to be eating. So yesh lachkor, if this Ramban is a marum makum, not like the Reed, not like this Tosfos, there's a lot more to talk about. Specifically, who was the chamor of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair? Who was the chamor of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair? So it's interesting, the Chiddush says. I'm sure you were wondering. So the Chiddush says that the chamor of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was the Gilgal. He brings this from the Ramami Pano. That Ramami Pano said that the chamor of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was a Gilgal of Yishmael, the son of Avraham Avinu. It was a Gilgal of Yishmael. And he says the reason he didn't want to eat from the Tevel, he didn't want to eat unless it was Ma'usr, because they're based on the Ravid in Perek Tes Hilchos Malachim, where the Ravid says that Avraham Avinu was the first one to give Ma'isr. And being that Avraham Avinu was the first one to give Ma'isr, Yishmael, who was B'noi Shal Avraham Avinu, was more nizer in Ma'isr because of the fact that it was Avraham Avinu, his father, that was Misakin Ma'isr. I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim in Parshas Vayera, we know that Oivdei Kechavim have no chayas, right? They're not nisyaches to their fathers. How do we know that? We learn it from Yishmael. Avraham Avinu told Yishmael, Shvulachem poyim achamar. And we learn from there, Amadoyim chamar. So he brings from a sefer called Korban Ani, that he said, this is a remes to what the Chiddush brings from the Ramami Panu, who said that the chamar of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was Yishmael. That's Shvulachem poyim achamar, Amadoyim Lechamar, and that's referring to Yishmael. Either way, we have a lot of Gemara to learn. Talk to Gemara right there. Amar Rav Nachman, and this next Gemara is another classic. It's not Shaykh. Amar Rabbi Barabuwa. Sakin Shalabaydis Kechav and Mutal Dishkaifa. So somebody has a knife, and this knife was used for Avodah Zarah. It was used to service Avodah Zarah. So are you allowed to use it now for Shechitas Chulin or not? So it said Rav Nachman, in the name of Rabbi Baravu, Sakin Shal Avodah Zkechavim, you're allowed to Shecht Chulin. But at the same time, you're not allowed to use it to cut meat. The reason you're allowed to Shecht an animal is Mekalkalho. Because it's when a person Shechts an animal, you're being Mekalkal the animal. Rashi says, a live animal you can use for one of three things. You can use it to breed, you can use it to plow, or you can use it for achila. Once you shecht it, you can't breed it anymore, and it can't plow anymore. Now the only thing you can do is eat it. So the act of shechita is viewed as a maisa mekalkel. So even though I'm using a sakin shel avodah zarah, I can't have hanah from a sakin shel avodah zarah. But at the end of the day, am I having hanah from this sakin? I'm not. It's actually messing me up. It's being mekalkel me. My animal is losing value as a result of the sakin. Thus, it's going to be okay. At the same time, you're not allowed to cut meat with it, that's masakin, obviously, you're cutting meat. Once the animal's dead already, you already had a shechita, so now what do you want to do with it? You want to cut it up, so you can serve it, so you can eat it. So that's already considered masakin. Oh my, Rabbi said, sometimes it's also to shecht it. And that is if the animal's a misukenis, the animal's going to die. So then you have to shecht it, because if it dies before you shecht it, it's going to be an avela. So then the act of shechita is a maisa tikkun, not a maisa kilkel. Thus the halachic veer is going to be that you're not allowed to use a sakin shal avodah zarah. Umechatech mutter, and there are times that mechatech is mutter, ba'atmi, the kaim in the korbanah. Let's say you have a nice piece of meat, and you it's so nice you can give it as a gift to somebody very important, and then you chop it up. So obviously, their chopping it was a bad thing. So the bottom line is, can you use a sakin shel avodas kechavim in your kitchen when you're preparing a meal? It depends. If it's a maisa tikkun, the answer is no. If it's a maisa kikkul, the answer is yes. But frek the gemara akasha. V'teipek le mishum sham nunis te'isura. I don't understand. This sakin shel avodas kechavim sounds like it's a knife that's used in the non-kosher butcher houses. Meaning, v'chayra, it should have blios inside of it of non-kosher food, of shamnunis, of fat, of nevela. So what's the shayla? How in the world could you use it anyways? You're not allowed to use kalim in your kitchen to prepare your food that were previously used to prepare non-kosher food. I mean, this is Hilchas Kashrus, Hilchas Taruvais 101. So pray to Gemara, forget about the Avoy Bezara component. Avodah tikkun, kilkul, there's a kashrus component. There's an isav heter, a taruvais component. V'teipek le mishum shamnunis t'yisura. And again, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, not all the Rishonim agree with Rashi, but the way Rashi explains the Gemara, why aren't you worried about the fat of nevela that's inside, that's balua inside the knife? Now the truth is that this Gemara's kasha is not such a pashta kasha. And this is a very important Gemara right here, Chulam Daf Ches, but it's going to be really important when we learn the sugyas of Taruvis, which are about 100 blocks from now. So we have a little bit of time for that. We don't have to get too into that right now. But just the basic idea is that we know that Chazal said that if you cook with a pot, some of the food that you cook gets absorbed into the pot. And for that reason, you can't use a fleishig pot to cook milchiks, or milchig pot to cook fleishigs. Because even though the pot is clean and you can wash it and you can scrub it, but at the end of the day, the walls of the pot have in it blios of whatever was previously cooked in it. When you now cook again with it, those blios come out, known as platos. They're discharged into the food that you're cooking, and as a result, you're going to have a taruvus of isavahetar. Unless you have a shear to be mevatlit, you can run yourself into issues. It's based on that. The Gemara is asking Akasha, how could you use the knife? The knife has blios of shamnunis of nevela. But really, this is a very big chiddush for a few reasons. Reason number one, the only time this issue is oblius and platus is if there's heat. So if you're going to cook food, because of the fire that's underneath the food, because of the heat of the things in question, that's what is a problem. If you take cold meat and you put it into a milchig pot, you don't have to call your local rabbi and ask him, can I use the pot? It's not an issue. The reason it's not an issue is because there's no blius and platus. You need the medium of heat in order to create blius and platus. Knives typically weren't used in the context of heat. Oh, maybe, yeah. But that's the first question you have to ask yourself. The second question that you have to ask yourself is, at the end of the day, the blius that are inside, are they noisen tam lefgam or are they noisen tam leshvach? So we know that if you called your rabbi right now, you told him, by mistake, I was cooking, I was making milk and food, I realized I used the fleish kapat. What's the first question he's going to ask you? First question. Did you use the pot in the last 24 hours? What's the difference? Because the blia that's inside the pot is only a problem in the taruvos if it's nice and tam l'shvach, if we assume that it enhances the taste on some level of the food that you're eating. But if it's nice and tam l'fgam, if it doesn't enhance the food, it makes it taste worse, then it's not a problem. Up to 24 hours, blias a nice and tam l'shvach. After 24 hours, the nice and tam l'fgam. The halach is stam kelim ha'ina b'nei yoyimah. So if you have a keli and you don't know anything about the history of this keli, you don't know where it was in the last 24 hours, you could assume it wasn't used. Stam kelim ha'ina b'nei yoyimah. We assume they weren't used in the last 24 hours. So l'churu, what's the gemara's kasha? Tepeklei, it's a stam yena. Either way, some of the ha'oras on Rashi. But regardless, the Gemara's kash is, forget about the Avodah Zarah component. What about the Nevela component? And for the Gemara, Bichadasha, we're talking about where it was a new knife. It was never used before. For the Gemara, if it was never used before, then it's not a sakin shel Avodah Zarah Kechavim. Bein l'Rabbi Shmuel, bein l'Rabbi Akiva. Misham she Avodah Zarah Kechavim heim, u'misham she Avodah Zarah Kechavim einan asurim ad sheyavdu. And Rashi says, this is referring to a Gemara Masechtas, Avodah Zarah, daf nun aleph amud beis, where the Gemara discusses Avodah Zarah that was never worshipped. Does it have a din of Avodah Zarah? So it was designated to be worshipped, but it was never physically worshipped. How do you treat it in halacha? So it's a machlokes. But everybody agrees that shaila is only with regards to avodah zarah itself. But mishamshei avodah zarah, something whose purpose is just to facilitate avodah zarah, like a knife. The knife is not the avodah zarah. It was used in the context of avodah zarah. That luchura is definitely not a problem. So how can you tell me we're talking about new knives? Thus, there's no problem of blios of nevela. L'chura, at the end of the day, if they're new, then it was never used. If it was never used, that's Meshamshe Avodah Zarah, that were never used, there should be no Avodah Zarah issue either. Zok to Gemara, Yibay Yaseim, the Pasuk, like Gavs Avodah Zarah. So you have to say, no, you're right, it's not new. Really, it was old.
So if it was old, what about the nevela? Either it could be it wasn't used to cut meat. Maybe it was used for dessert to cut wood. Oh, that's not a problem. The iba yisema biyishana shalib nabar, or you kashered it. Meaning that you kashered it, the nevela issue is not an issue. What is an issue is davay dazar issue. Itma shoychid besakin shol evdi kechav. If somebody shechts using a sakin of a non-Jew, Rav amar koylev. Rav says that you have to peel off a little bit of the area where the shechit is done, the area of the Beis HaTzavar, you have to remove that to make sure that you don't have any bliyos of some of the nevela that's inside the sakin shal ev dekechavim. Rabba bar bar chano amar madia. You don't have to peel off anything. You don't have to cut anything off. What you have to do is wash it really well. Leim b'hagim ifli. What's the machlokes? The master of the Beis HaShechita tzaynin. Umar sov the Beis HaShechita reisech. We said that the only time there's issues of bliyos and pleitos, that's if the area is hot. If the area is not hot, then so maybe the machlokes was the Beis HaShechita. Was it viewed as a hot area or was it not viewed as a hot? If it's a hot area, so then there's bliyos, then koylef, then you have to remove a little piece. If not, it's not a problem. So Umar says like, maybe everybody holds Beis HaShechita as Reisech. The one that says Koylev, that makes sense. The one that says all you have to do is rinse it. I did the treaty. Simonim lafuke dam loy bali. Sometimes it's hard for an animal to do two things at the same time, even when it's dead. So over here, you want that the right. What's happening? These simonim now are they're being mafled blood. Right, that's what happens. As you kill it, you sever the simon and blood starts squirting out. Being that blood is squirting out, it's hard for the animal at the same time to be bileya the bliyos from the sakin shalev de kechavim. So it could be that even if you hold that the area really is hot, it's reiseach, but at the same time, all you need to do is wash it because this heat in this context won't have any ability to be bilei. Ikedami, some said it in the verse, that the machloikis, whether sakin shalev de kechavim koylei from adiach, is not whether the Beis HaShechita was hot or whether it was cold, but rather it was something else. Everybody holds that it was soinein. Mandam madiach, mandam that says madiach, shapir dami, that makes perfect sense. Mandam koylei, the one that says koylei, agav duchka de sakina boileya, being that it's the knife has power, it has force, pressed down really, really hard, even though it's soinein, it still has an ability to be belay. Of course, that's a tzushtal to the Rashi on the bottom of the Chesam and Aleph. It's a very important yisoid in the laws of Issa v'Hetet. That's why a knife has a special place in halacha. So whenever you talk about laws of kashras and accidentally using milchiks and flechiks, a knife is treated somewhat differently. It's based on this Lashon HaGemara. Agav duchka de sakina bala. One last gemara. Sakin treifa. If somebody used the knife to shech the treifa, right? Shoichit was using a knife and he killed an animal. He realized that it was a treifa. Could he now use the knife again or does he have to kashra it before he shechts a regular kosher animal? Think about Rabbi Ravi. The Chalav one said, Bechamin. Meaning, you definitely have to wash it. The question is, do you have to kashra it? So one man said, yeah, you have to use hot water. Chalav one said, all you need is cold water. Hilchasa, what's the halacha? Afilu betzayin, cold water is enough. V'ika belisa the parsel l'michrei lo tzarech. And if you have paper towels, if you have a shmata, smartut, to clean it, that also would be fine. Lumandama bechamin, my time. The mandama that says you need hot water, what's the reason? Mishum de Kabbalah Yisur de Teir. The reason is because we're worried about blias. You shechted the treifa. It might have blias of treifa. Says the Gemara, listen to this kasha. De Teir nami bala. Every single time a sheikhid ever shecht, you should always be worried about blias. Why? Bala eva menachai. Because l'chura, every animal, while it's alive, is also to eat. Evim Menachai, it's one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Nayach, no less. So being that Evim Menachai is one of the seven mitzvahs, every time a shoychet shecht, why aren't you worried that right before he killed the animal, it got a blia of this live animal, thus there's a little bit of Evim Menachai. So the Gemara says, no, why? Because Emas Bala L'chichayim. The whole concern of the knife being b'leia from the animal that you're shechting is a concern once the area gets hot. Because without heat, there's no blias anyways. Emos kochaima, when does it get hot? L'chi gom reshchita. After the shchita. Ahishayit ha'teiru. At that point, it's not even benachat. So in theory, it's a great kasha. Every single chalas should be a problem. You should have to keep on rinsing it. Because it's always being by Leah from Eva Menachai. The Teretz is, although in theory it's a good question, but technically it falls short. And the reason is because you need heat in order to be by Leah. The animal doesn't get hot enough to be maflit into the sakin until the shchit is over. And once the shchit is over, it's no longer Eva Menachai. One thing you see in this Gemara, and that is that a dover chai could be maflit. A dover chai at first glance could be maflit. Could something alive be maflit? Maflit? From this Gemara, you see, yeah. Because the Gemara asked the kasha that every shoychet should have to continuously rinse his knife. Because he always has blias of Eva Menachai. Blias of Eva Menachai can only happen while the animal's alive. If the animal's not alive, you're not going to have blias of Eva Menachai. If that's the case, let me ask you a question. Are you allowed to eat food that's very, very hot. It's so hot that it's yad soy leh d'spoy. It should be a problem. Why? Because human flesh, cannibalism, is awesome. The Rambam says it's not us. There's no loisa say. Rambam says it's only in Israel say. We'll speak out the Rambam tomorrow. But of course, you're not allowed to eat human flesh. Even though in theory, you would think a human should be kosher. But the reality is that humans are not kosher, okay? Forget about mafresas, parsas, shesa. We do chew our cud. We don't, whatever your Rebbe told you about chewing your cud. You're not kosher, right? So the bottom line is, you're not allowed to, human flesh is, no? You never got that shmuz? You're not allowed to, not a benyoyma. So human flesh is not kosher. See, here's the question. How are you allowed to put food in your mouth? That's Yatzeh Ledes Boy. Why aren't you worried that something, your tongue, will be mafflet into the food, and now you're going to eat a bliya? Why are you allowed to touch food? Yatzeh Ledes Boy, Yad Nichves Boy. The second you touch it, a bliya went out, right? So you tell me, oh, it's the Dover Chai. Your Dover Chai is not mafflet. We just learned the Gemara. The Dover Chai is mafflet. If the Dover Chai is not mafflet, then Lechura, what was the Hava Amina? Tomorrow.